From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Research and Technology Minister Bambang Brojonegoro expects indigenously developed vaccine against COVID-19 by the Ekman Institute for Molecular Biology and the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI to get Emergency Use Authorization, or EUA, in January 2022. Ekman and LIPI are developing vaccine using a recombinant protein platform, while another vaccine based on the adenoviral factor platform is currently under development at the Erlangga University and is expected to obtain emergency use approval in September 2021. According to the minister, the clinical trials and processing would be the pace of Biopharma, supported by the National Agency of Drugs and Food Control, BPOM. Besides state's pharmaceutical company Biopharma, the minister also urged private players to help accelerate the development of the Merah Putih vaccine. Minister Brojonegoro stated on Tuesday, even though Indonesia has procured vaccine from several foreign producers, the Merah Putih vaccine would be necessary to ensure self-sufficiency against the virus. COVID-19 Handling and National Economic Recovery Committee KPCPEN Chief Erlangga Hartarto encouraged those having recovered from the coronavirus disease COVID-19 to come forward to donate their convalescent plasma to help patients infected with the virus. Hartarto noted in a statement in Jakarta on Tuesday that convalescent plasma from COVID-19 survivors is expected to curb death due to COVID-19 in Indonesia. In addition to inoculation, blood donation has become part of the efforts to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Hartarto, concurrently the coordinating minister for economic affairs, became a convalescent plasma donor at the launch of the convalescent plasma donation campaign. The minister admitted to having contracted the disease and survived. Hartarto admitted to having made some preparation before donating his blood, including conducting routine medical checkup and maintaining a healthy lifestyle. The minister expressed hope that other survivors across the country would follow the movement. Indonesia has recorded a total of 154 natural disasters in the first 3 weeks of 2021, as per data from the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB. Spokesperson for BNPB's COVID-19 Handling Task Force, Wiku Adhisasmito, said at an online press conference originating from the BNPB building in Jakarta on Tuesday, the disaster claimed 140 lives and left 776 people injured. The occurrence of the disaster suggests that Indonesia is geographically and geologically vulnerable to natural disasters. According to Wiku, it is the obligation of the Indonesian people, particularly those living in the disaster-prone areas, to mitigate the impact of natural disasters and stay alert for disasters. In accordance with the Home Affairs Ministry's circular, regional governments are also expected to be able to increase vigilance and use all energy to prevent disasters. Let's move on to the international news. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's nominee for Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, said during his Senate confirmation hearing that he in favor of the United States accepting a number of refugees from Hong Kong and called for taking a hard look on the presence of a major companies in the city. Blinken told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Tuesday that this is not going to fix the problem, but he would like to see U.S., for example, to be able to take in some of those fleeing Hong Kong and fleeing the repressions for standing up for their democratic rights. Blinken also said that the United States needs to take a hard look about what U.S. position should be on the presence of institutions and companies in Hong Kong. Acting U.S. Defense Secretary Christopher Miller and his U.K. counterpart signed an authorization allowing American warships, fighter jets and marines to participate in a strike group led by the U.K. carrier Queen Elizabeth, the Defense Department said in a press release on Tuesday. According to the release, this deployment underscores the strength of the bilateral ties and demonstrates U.S.-U.K. interoperability, both of which are key tenets of the U.S. national defense strategy. The agreement signed by Miller and U.K. Secretary of State for Defense Ben Wallace enables U.S. Marines F-35B fighter jets and U.S. Navy destroyers to join the Combined Carrier Strike Group. The group is slated to deploy from the U.K. later this year. The European Union Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell urged the Sudanese authorities on Tuesday to prevent further violent outbreaks in the Darfur region after more than 100 people died in clashes over recent days. Violence erupted in West Darfur and South Darfur this past Saturday, 3 weeks after a joint United Nations African Union peacekeeping mission pulled out of the region and handed responsibility to the government in Khartoum. According to the West Darfur's Doctors' Union, 129 people were killed in the latest intercommunal clashes. Borrell said in a statement that any further violence needs to be prevented and perpetrators brought to justice. The protection and security of civilians must be ensured by the Sudanese authorities of all times, in accordance with the government's National Plan for Civilian Protection. Armed clashes in the Darfur region reached their peak in 2003, as rebels launched a campaign to overthrow then-President Omar al-Bashir, who was eventually ousted in 2019. According to the United Nations, roughly 300,000 people died and almost 3 million people were displaced in the violence 18 years ago. The European Commission is to launch the service for the EU-UK agreement on March 1st to oversee the implementation of the post-Brexit future partnership agreement reached by Brussels and London in late December. The new body is set to replace the Task Force for Relations with the United Kingdom, which was established to facilitate the Brexit negotiations, the European Commission said in a press release on Tuesday. According to the press release, the European Commission Vice President Maros Sefcovic has been appointed to represent the bloc as co-chair in the Joint Partnership Council established as a result of the future partnership agreement. Additionally, the European Union top Brexit negotiator, Michael Barnier, has been appointed as a special advisor to European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. The United Kingdom left the European Union on January 31st, triggering an 11-month transition period that concluded at the end of 2020. That was the news. Biden officially assumed the duties of president after his inauguration today, January 20th, in Washington, D.C. The beginning of his duty was marked by a process of transferring power that was unlike the previous tradition. The replaced president, Donald Trump, did not attend Joe Biden's inauguration and did not welcome the 46th president of the United States at the White House. Over the centuries, the process of transition has been marked by the tea banquet at the White House that the old president held for the new president. The 46th inauguration of the president and vice president of the United States at the Capitol Hill building was also marked by a very tight security by United States National Guard troops. They were deployed to anticipate the possibility of violence following the riots on Capitol Hill by Trump supporters. Joe Biden's departure to Washington for the inauguration ceremony also did not use military aircraft provided by the government. Joe Biden and his wife took a private plane from Delaware to Washington and landed at Andrew Military Airfield. Starting his administration, Joe Biden stood face a tough task. He must fulfill his commitment and promise to reunite the people who were divided by the election. In addition, Biden must also move quickly to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic, which is increasingly widespread and has caused more than 400,000 deaths of Americans. Economic recovery is also waiting to be realized in the first 100 days of his reign with Kamala Harris. Concentration in the country, of course, must be balanced with attention to foreign problems. Foreign policy carried out during the Trump era requires a change. The deterioration of relations with Iran and China will certainly be Joe Biden's policy priority. In a statement, Biden acknowledged that both U.S. multilateral and bilateral relations went awry during the Trump administration. On the occasion of his campaign, Joe Biden had promised to fix it as soon as possible. Regarding relations with Iran, Joe Biden said that he would rejoin the nuclear agreement initiated by President Barack Obama. The deal, called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA, fell apart because in 2018 Donald Trump declared leaving it. Since then, relations between Iran and the United States have continued to deteriorate. Tensions escalate. Therefore, Iran and the international community are certainly waiting for Joe Biden's breakthrough in foreign policy to start. Apart from Iran, there are still problems and territorial disputes in the South China Sea involving several Asian countries as well as China. That was commentary.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on January 20, 1924, the birthday of a revolutionary hero, Mastirto Darmo Haryono. Lieutenant General of Indonesian Military, or TNI, Anumerta Mastirto Darmo Haryono, or known as MT Haryono, was born in Surabaya, East Java, January 20, 1924. When Indonesia's Independence Day was proclaimed, Haryono joined other youths to fight for keeping the independence. He continued the fighting by joining the forerunner of the Indonesian military, People's Security Military, or TKR. In the beginning, his position was major. Haryono used to be the Indonesian military attaché in Den Haag. MT Haryono was one of six generals who were kidnapped and murdered in Lubang Buaya, Jakarta, October 1, 1965, in the September 30 movement. He was buried at Kalibata Hero Cemetery, Jakarta, and bestowed with the title of Revolutionary Hero. We move to an event on January 20, 1986, the first commemoration of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Martin Luther King Jr. was a spokesman of non-violence movement to fight for civil rights in the U.S. King held a protest against racial discrimination in the federal and state laws until then he was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee in 1968. On Monday, January 20, 1986, Martin Luther King Jr. Day was first commemorated in the U.S. as a federal holiday. Then the federal holiday falls on the third Monday of January on his birthday, January 15. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is the only federal day in the U.S. that commemorates African American figure. We end today in history with an event on January 20, 2009, when the U.S. had an African-American president for the first time. Barack Hussein Obama is an American politician who served as the 44th president of the United States. He is the first African-American to hold the office. His father is from Kenya, and his mother is from the U.S. He previously served as an Illinois state senator and U.S. senator. On January 20, 2009, Barack Obama was inaugurated as the U.S. president and re-elected in 2014 until 2017. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Dihadapi, lalu mengapa kau diam saja, tak berdaya? Di belia usia, di masa yang paling indah, kau tampak tak bergairah. Sementara yang lainnya hidup seenaknya, seakan waktu takkan pernah ada akhirnya. Hanya mengejar kepentingan diri sendiri, lalu cuek akan derita sekitarnya. Astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Oh, oh, astaga, hendak kemana semua ini? Bila kau muda sudah tak mau lagi peduli, muda putus asa dan kehilangan arah. Sementara yang lainnya hidup seenaknya, seakan waktu takkan pernah ada akhirnya. Hanya mengejar kepentingan diri sendiri, lalu cuek akan derita sekitarnya. Astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Oh, oh, astaga, hendak kemana semua ini? Bila kau muda sudah tak mau lagi peduli, muda putus asa dan kehilangan arah. Kemana semua ini?
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry focused on four priority programs of renewable energy and energy conservation in 2021 to achieve the target of 23% mix of renewable energy in 2025. That was stated by Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation Director General Dadan Kustiana, as quoted from the ministry's website in Jakarta on Friday. The first program is the mandatory B30 that mixes 30% of biodiesel and 70% of diesel fuel. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry is preparing the use of biofuel. Dadan Kusdiana admitted the absorption of B30 in 2020 decreased slightly, around 12% from the allocated 9.55 million kiloliter into 8.4 million kiloliter because of the COVID-19. Dadan said, this year the biodiesel fuel absorption is targeted to achieve 9.2 million kiloliter. This is the supply from the 10 biofuel companies and distributed by 20 biofuel companies. Next is biomass co-firing. This program is a method to use biomass to replace coal in steam power plants. The other priority programs is accelerating solar plant development. It's space flexibility and less time in development were the reason for the government to prioritize this program. The solar power plants can be rooftop, floating in a dam, and a great scale one. Then, the fourth priority is fossil fuel plant conversion. It mainly converts diesel power plants into a renewable and more eco-friendly version. Dadan said a ministerial decree is under preparation to support it. Indonesian government also targets additional installed capacity, namely 196 MW from geothermal, 557.93 MW from water, 138.8 MW from solar, and 13 MW from biofuel. Meanwhile, the renewable energy investment target for this year increases to $2.05 billion from the 2020 achievement, namely $1.36 billion.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear masks everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
zaymusic.com.
Jika kau memang bukan pasanganku, aku akan menjauhi dirimu. Jika harus ku lupakan dirimu, lebih baik sekarang. Katakanlah, jangan diam, bicaralah sayang. Sebenarnya kamu sudah tak ada, sekuatnya aku kamu coba tertawa. Sejujurnya ini terlalu sakit sayang, ini sakit sayang, ku rela berpisah denganmu. Kata jangan diam, bicaralah sayang. Sebenarnya kamu sudah tak ada, sekuatnya aku kamu coba tertawa. Sejujurnya ini terlalu sakit sayang, ini sakit sayang, ku rela berpisah denganmu. Kita memang harus
listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, I'm going to take you to visit Cacalan Beach, located in Sukowidi Village, Klatak, Kalipuro, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java. You It offers beautiful natural scenery with white sand and blue sea. The unique thing is that the waves on Cacalan Beach are quite small, so it is very safe for traveling with family. One of the characteristics of this Cacalan Beach is the stunning panoramic sunrise. Cacalan Beach is no less exotic than other beaches. The facilities are quite complete. Its location, which is also close to the urban center, would be very unfortunate if you do not stop by this Banyuwangi's leading tourism. Every name of the beach, especially in Java, has its own story and origin. Cacalan comes from a Javanese word which means hoe. In the past, around Bulusan Beach, Cintadok, Cacalan to Ancol Beach, there were many jajang or bamboo trees. To beautify the atmosphere on the Cacalan Beach, the community along with village officials then cut and clean the trees by means of hose. From this incident, this beach is known as the Cacalan Beach. The existence of the beautiful Cacalan Beach brings a new face to the tourism sector in Banyuwangi. Places in all corners of Cacalan Beach are now photo spots for both local and foreign tourists. Especially, this beachside swing spot is well designed to capture moments together. In addition, tourists can see the beautiful panoramic view of the Bali Strait from this Banyuwangi beach. Activities that tourists usually do on Cacalan Beach are swimming, fishing, looking for sea animals, watching the beautiful sunrise panorama, and enjoying culinary delights. For those who like horse riding, they can try this Cacalan Beach location. This beach provides horse rental to get around along the beach. There are also canoes or rubber boat rentals to fulfill tourists' adventure desires. There is no ticket price to enter the Banyuwangi Cacalan Beach, but you have to pay for vehicle parking at an affordable price. The facilities at Cacalan Beach are quite adequate, such as parking areas, bathrooms, dining areas, wooden swings, shelter umbrellas, and places of worship. Food stalls providing a variety of seafood menus and others can be found around this beach. Enjoying East Java culinary above the gazebo while enjoying the beautiful scenery of Cacalan Beach will certainly make your vacation even more memorable. This beach opens from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. West Indonesian time every day. By sticking to the set health protocols, your vacation with your family will be healthier. Listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Semua hanya pada hati saja.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Listener, today's topic is Wow, banyak sekali ya, which means Wow, that's a lot. Stay tuned. Listen to this conversation about wow, banyak sekali ya, which means wow, that's a lot. In a sidewalk shop in the road curve, Kevin sees one of party flags and the participation serial number in the general elections.
Rama, itu gambar apa?
Gambar yang mana?
Itu di samping pohon.
Oh, itu bendera salah satu partai yang mengikuti pemilu.
Kenapa ada angka 9 di bendera itu?
Oh, angka itu menunjukkan nomor urut partai dalam pemilu.
Memangnya ada berapa jumlah partai yang mengikuti pemilu?
Ada 20 partai.
Oh, banyak sekali ya.
Iya, Kevin.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times, and you can repeat after me. Itu gambar apa? Itu gambar apa? Which means, what picture is that? Oh, itu bendera salah satu partai yang mengikuti pemilu. Oh, itu bendera salah satu partai yang mengikuti pemilu. Which means, oh, that's the flag of a party participating in the general elections. Wow, banyak sekali. Wow, banyak sekali. Which means, wow, that's a lot. Partai, partai, which means party. Pemilu, pemilu, which means general elections. In the dialogue, there is an expression, wow, banyak sekali ya. Wow, banyak sekali ya. Which means, wow, that's a lot. The word wow is an interjection which is used to express shock, amazement, and wonder of something. It is usually followed by adjective or noun to describe shock, amazement, and wonder of something. For example, wow, rajin sekali Andi dalam belajar. Wow, rajin sekali Andi dalam belajar, which means, wow, how diligent Andi in studying. Wow, cantik sekali adiknya Ayu. Wow, cantik sekali adiknya Ayu, which means, wow, how beautiful Ayu's sister is. In addition to the word wow, there are also other words, aduh and astaga, to show shock, amazement, and wonder of something. Like the word wow, the words astaga and aduh are usually followed by adjective or noun too. For example, aduh, baik sekali hati anak kecil itu. Aduh, baik sekali hati anak kecil itu, which means, oh, how kind the little kid is. Astaga, Lia terlihat sangat cantik mengenakan gaun itu. Astaga, Lia terlihat sangat cantik mengenakan gaun itu. Which means, oh gosh, Lia looks so beautiful in that dress. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Rama, itu gambar apa?
Gambar yang mana?
Itu di samping pohon.
Oh, itu bendera salah satu partai yang mengikuti pemilu.
Kenapa ada angka 9 di bendera itu?
Oh, angka itu menunjukkan nomor urut partai dalam pemilu.
Memangnya ada berapa jumlah partai yang mengikuti pemilu?
Ada 20 partai.
Oh, banyak sekali ya.
Iya, Kevin.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. See you next time with another interesting topic. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Tertawa bercanda, sumpahmu, sumpahku yang kini tak tercapai. Kau pergi jauh, janji kembali, kini kau pulang membawa.
Kembali memori.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Music Corner, our voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Today, we present you a song from Riau Province entitled Pantai Solop. Solop Beach is a beach located in Indragiri Hilir, Riau. The song Pantai Solop was composed by H.M. Rusli Zainal. The lyrics tell about the beauty of Solop Beach with its white sand and clear water. At Solop Beach, which is located in Cawan Island, there are many pieces of marine animal skin and mangrove forests. All the natural nuances feel like heaven, so that the heart feels calm. The beauty of Solop Beach lies not only in the beach physically, but also in the people who are friendly and kind, reflecting the country's culture. Well, listener, here is the song Pantai Solop by H.M. Rusli Zainal.
Terkuah indah alam membentang di rantau bumi Sri Gemilang. Pulau Cawan, aduhai negeri manda, Pantai Solop berbilang pesona sersa. Pasirnya sersa, kilau gemilang, serpihan kulit satwa lautnya, bermain ombak aduhai di celah bakau, terhampar putih eloknya bagai permata. Nuansa alamnya bagai surgawi, membawa teduh suasana hati. Kicauan burung, nyanyian sunyi, Pantai Solo, rahmat ilahi. Penduduknya ramah, juga berbudi, pancaran budaya khas negeri. Lestarikanlah warisan ini, Pantai Solo, Pantai Solo, Pantai Solo, pantai sejati. Kicauan burung, nyanyian sunyi, Pantai Solo, rahmat ilahi. Berbudi, pancaran budaya khasana negeri. lestarikanlah warisan ini. Pantai Solo, Pantai Solo, Pantai Solo, Pantai Sejati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.